Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, podcast audience. This is co-producer Ken Hodge with his Thursday morning podcast hosted by the one and only Mr. Anthony Norris from Blue Collar Consultant. He's a senior consultant. And how are you doing today?
I'm fabulous, young man. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Hey, it's always a I'm great, man. It's always a pleasure to break bread with you, brother.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, before we even get started, I understand that there's some new changes in your organization that you want to alert our podcast listeners to.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, again, thanks for allowing me to be a part of this. I want to continue to be a part of the podcast. I reached out to you the other day. And those who are currently working with my organization have been notified by my office via telephone as well as via mail. And all it simply means is we will no longer offer claims management to the Ohio market. One, I travel a lot. Matter of fact, I'm arriving in New Orleans right now as we speak. And the group that we were working with in Columbus and Cleveland and Toledo, they now offer claims management. So we've trained them on how to manage a patient's claim once they've been injured. So we still work with that group. It's just they will be taking over claims management service. So from now on, when you guys get hurt and you need help, you can always call me. But as far as onboarding you, taking you on as a client, I'm going to refer you to Elite Medical, which most of you guys are familiar with them anyway, because that's where you go to see the physicians for medical as well as therapy. So it's not any new relationship. It's just a different logistics.
So do I still refer people to you and you refer them somewhere else, or how is that going to change how we interact?
I believe you know Antonio Smith.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know you know Chad.
Right.
Wise. Right. Antonio Smith. They worked in tandem in that market. While Mr. Wise is no longer servicing injured federal workers, Mr. Smith is. And because he's a local, it's just easier and less expensive, especially for my travel schedule, for him to service those clients as opposed to me.
Okay, so next time you're in the area, or I guess if you can set up a meeting, I'd like to sit down and meet the new contact person here. Again, so that we can continue helping employees.
Right. We can definitely set that up, but I don't want you to think that I'm abandoning you guys or just completely going away, because I am still available. This is what I do, and I want to help. So if there's questions or whatnot, I'm still here. But we will transition Mr. Smith in as soon as possible. And on that letter that most of the people who are current patients of ours, his contact information is on there as well. As well as next time they go to therapy, they can get his information at the therapy center whenever they see Dr. Manfresco or Dr.
Well, I definitely thank you for keeping at least listeners updated, because I know there's quite a few people in my plant that look forward to the services you provide, as long as that service is still being provided, it's being provided by another contact person, same organization, I think we should move on seamlessly without any breaks
right.
or hiccups in what we do.
Right. And that's why I'm saying it's important that I don't want to disintegrate into thin air, if you will. I still want to come on the podcast, if you allow me to, and we can talk about, you know, the information that benefits people, whether they are familiar with the process or not, and continue to do so. Maybe at some point, Mr. Smith may even be interested in coming on, and we just kind of mix it up a little bit. But either way, you know, whichever helps the people, that's what we want to do.
Okay. Well, again, that's outstanding and definitely very positive for us that we always know players in the game. So, yeah, you and I will get together, and I guess I'll do try to do a lunch or an intro with Mr. Smith. Again, just so we can continue putting a product out there that is designed to help my constituents, to help my postal employees. Again, even though this is a federal program, because I work at the post office, my concern 99.9% is with postal employees. Even though your program covers all federal injured employees, my concern is
right.
with the postal employee. So I
sure.
do appreciate that. I don't foresee any problem as a result of that. So we'll just keep on going like we've been going. And see what the end gonna be.
There you go. But again, they gotta understand something. I talk to people all across the country and guests from different agencies, and there's no way that I am going to turn that resource off to you guys. So right now, I know the relationship is with me, and it will continue to be with me as long as you decide to call me and or have me on this podcast. So that does not change.
Okay.
So I don't want to walk with anything. It's the same doctor. It's the same facility. You know, there's no bad vibes. There's no reason for alarm. It's just sometimes in business, you have to make adjustments that benefits the end user. And part
okay,
of that benefit
I'm...
is that there's local assistance available to you.
Okay. Again, we got comfortable with you, Brother Norris. But again, the product is the product, and if they've trained someone else, that should be no issue dealing with Mr. Smith.
Right.
That's the name, Mr. Smith?
Antonio Smith. And I will give you his number online right now, but I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, no, that's cool. We'll talk offline.
And what we could possibly do, we can get him on the phone and maybe get him to come on the podcast next week. You guys are loving the death. He's an Ohio State graduate, played in the NFL for a couple teams, and I've worked with him before. So this is someone who's very credible and a native, I don't know, Ohioan or a Columbian.
I'm from New Jersey,
very credible young man. Yeah.
All right. Nothing personal, and I know they love their Buckeyes. But I'm from New Jersey. Yeah, but I'm from Jersey. I'm a Ruckeye. I'm a Scarlet Ruckeye fan, man. I'm from Ruckeye Nation, man. I meant Ruckeye. You got me saying Ruckers like the Buckeye. I'm a Ruckers fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but again,
he's above board, great guy.
Okay. Well, again, we'll connect with him and have a conversation. And hopefully, again,
okay.
we can just keep going on seamlessly, man. Hey, but you know what, though? One concern that I like to talk about today, and that concern is people still not getting paid. And when you fill out that CA-7, is that a long process?
It doesn't have to be. But again... Everybody's situation is different, so it's hard for me to give you a blanket answer depending on what's going on with that person's claim. So if they there are a lot of scenarios whereby a person gets hurt and they get approved for therapy, but they don't get approved for compensation. And that goes into what's in the narrative that that physician has written. So what does the language look like? And that's important. So it's handled case by case. Now, what we do is we train people to, if you want to keep track of your compensation, if you're off work completely, part-time, or full-time, it doesn't matter. That way, when it's time to complete those PA7s, you can get your agency to do their part and then get it over in a timely fashion. But, you know, some people don't apply that, if you will. And it makes it very, very difficult for certain actions to happen at a certain time. And I tell people all the time, you are dealing with the federal government, so they're not going to move extremely fast, but typically within 30 days is the mark that we use with a lot of, that you'll get your response.
Because I have a few people, I've got a few people that in Citygate, Columbus, Ohio, who are working on that CA7, and they seem to be getting frustrated because they don't see any action coming back at them from the agency or injury compensation.
Okay. What would be a good idea is if you, that individual, and even myself get on the phone and look at their case, look at their situation case by case, we can come to a solution and an understanding as to what's going on. Because there are moving parts to any part of the claim that you're trying to get fulfilled. And some people, out of frustration, don't follow through with what's being presented to them as far as a course of action. Because at the end of the day, this is your claim. And you'll get more pushback from the agency than you will the Department of Labor, because the rules and the process is set out there. But a lot of people want other folks to do it for them, or if it's not happening fast enough, then they want to quit. So in the best interest of the people who are approaching you, what we can do, and I'll offer that to you, we can do a conference call, and we can break down exactly what's going on. But for the purpose of this podcast, it's going to be just general information because everybody's situation
right.
is different.
Right. And that's cool because what I'll do is I'll contact her and then set up a conference with you because, again,
yes.
she's getting frustrated. Nobody seems to be processing her paperwork. And you're definitely right about getting more pushback from the agency. I can't tell you the number of times someone has come to me and told me the agency is denying my claim. Well, first of all, calm down, because the agency can't deny anything. The agency can only request to have it denied, but they don't have that authority.
That is true.
Yeah.
So there are certain tactics that we can use to get to. First of all, let me back up a second. One thing I'll talk about every week is documentation, documentation, documentation. It is not your word versus someone else's word. It is I have proven that I have documented my action. And there are different ways to do that, especially when it comes to CA7. You know, I've had people complete the form, turn around, and mail it certified to their supervisor. That way it's signed off on once they get it, and that's your proof that the agency does have your request for compensation. And then you send that over to the claims examiner at the Department of Labor, and that is one of the ways that we use because we know how the agencies can be. However, that does require a little action from you, the claimant, on your part to do that. This is your claim. So if you're not willing to go a little bit outside of your comfort zone or comfort of you doing certain tasks, then some of these things are not going to be done. Now, where we come in from a claims management standpoint is, yes, we're going to hold your hand as much as we can, but our power becomes very limited inside of the agency because we are approaching this whole situation from a medical standpoint. And that's why getting the union is important, because the fiduciary duty of the union to you, wages, work conditions, and benefits is through the union. The union fiduciary duties to you does not include medical. So we become a little less powerful inside of the agency when it comes to wages. But because that is a part of the benefits package, all we can do is advise. But to get on the phone with any supervisor or manager or whatnot, we don't have the same power inside of the agency. That's why we always advise people, let's keep the union involved. Now, not everyone has the experience and knowledge of Mr. Hodge, which I can really appreciate. He's been around long enough to know these things and know how to implement. However, people still have to do their part as far as documentation. That's why I'm suggesting, you know, there's a few folks in particular that you're thinking about, we can set up a conference call and get this handled.
Okay, what I'm going to do, brother, Mr. Norris, is I'm going to reach out to them, because the one thing that consistently happens, and I don't understand why, and that is, if it's your claim, you should follow that claim from beginning to end. And again, even though agencies help, I help, Mr. Norris agencies help, you got to remember something, and please never lose sight of this. That's your health. That's your money. And that's your situation. Don't ever expect anyone to care about you more than you care about yourself. Now, we've got the tools, and you can tap into myself, tap into Mr. Norris. But again, you have to tap into what's important to you, and you have to understand that you have to be tenacious about ensuring your rights are not violated. And when I say your rights to medical benefit, so your rights to compensation. Again, we're going to give you the tools, but Mr. Norris and I probably do not have the time to sit here and walk your case step by step. Again, we got the tools. If you're going to have to stay on top of it, therefore, you are the first person to understand something's not going right, then you can reach out to myself, to Mr. Norris, and we can help you get it back on track. But I need the employee to take a greater concern in their own well-being and help us help you.
Right. And let me say this to back up what you're saying. You know, this is not an attack on any of the listeners on this call. We're just trying to stress to you how important it is that no one's going to work your claim harder than you. I can give you all the information in the world, Mr. Hodge can do the same, but until you're willing to do what it takes in order to stay engaged, it's going to be tough. Again, documentation is key, and most people, and we are creatures of habit, we can get lazy in certain subject matters or certain situations going on in our life. So it's easier to not do something than it is to do something. So at the end of the day, we can only go as far as you're willing to take action on. So we know the process front to back. We know the time frame and everything. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be as smooth as egg when we start the process. However, we're going to stay persistent, and we're going to do what's required. So I tell people all the time, yes, the agency is going to give you pushback, and here are the reasons why. But so what? You got to go through it. The system overall is designed to frustrate you and to give you a moment of pause and like, hey, is it really worth it? And then you take real-life circumstance. Hey, my bills are due. This is going on. That's going on. I don't have time for this. Well, if you don't have time for it, then it's not going to materialize. And that's just the human side of us when we're dealing with certain things. So I've talked to quite a few people about, you know, where they are in a claim, and they're listening. But when they hear the part, it's like, you have to help me help you. That's when, you know, sometimes people fall off. Sometimes people want to go and complain to others. When at the end of the day, it's your claim. I had a guy tell me, this probably 6 months ago, that I work for him. and what I'm supposed to do. No, sir, I do not work for you. I work with you. This doesn't cost you a dime, but it can cost you everything if you don't follow these instructions. We're going to hold hands and walk down the aisle together. We're not going to, you're not going to send me down the aisle and I do my work. So I've heard it all.
That sounds just like, that sounds like a lot of people, man. Again, we're here providing a free service, working, and again, and the key is working with you. You don't pay me for what I do. You don't pay. Well, again, my union members pay me, so I'm a little more in depth there. But when it comes to OWCP injury, this is a service that's not provided by your union. Your union, as Mr. Norris told you, doesn't get into medical claims. But again, being a representative of the union and as a branch president, I looked out and found an organization that'll help me help members. So again, this isn't a union function. This isn't a postal function. This is a federal function. And more times than not, because we've been in the post office so long, we become illusioned with the fact that federal guidelines postal guidelines outweigh federal guidelines. And I'm telling you, wake up, folks, because that's not how this game was played. Because we work in a post office, we have become accustomed to understanding that they have the only way. Well, that's because we haven't stepped out of that circle. Okay, now what we're giving you is federal guidelines here, and they override postal guidelines. Now, again, Postal Service can add to it, but they can't detract from these guidelines. In fact, this whole form that we're talking about this morning, that CA7A, just for the listeners that are following, that is a form to use when claiming FICA compensation, including repurchase of paid leave. It must be used when claiming compensation for more than one consecutive period of leave. So if you're out of work, hurt at work, and you're looking for benefits, well, if it's not automatic, that means you have to manually kickstart that program. And the ways you kickstart that program is with that CA7. Again, it's not a form that we talk about a lot because we usually stay with the CA1, the CA2, the CA16, 17, and 20. But there's a whole lot of other CA forms in there for compensation that we need to become aware with. And it requires just a little bit of time on your part to maybe go online and look this stuff over. Because, again, what we say to you, none of it's made up. Everything that comes out on this podcast can be backed up with the official form. In fact, most of the time when me and Mr. Norris, when Mr. Norris and I speak to you, we're speaking to you from the form. Like my explanation of that CA7A, I wish I was that smart to just have all that on the top of my head. But while I'm on this podcast, I've got screens in front of me, and I got the form up, just like you can do. So what we give to you, it's not magic. And, again, we're breaking it down simple enough that if you want to follow it, you can follow it. Does that make sense, Mr. Norris?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because – every time we get on this podcast and we go a specific form, I tell people, hey, go to the last page of whatever form you're trying to complete. And the beautiful part about the Department of Labor is that they're going to explain to you what goes where. But most people don't want to read. They want to be told. So when you're misinformed and you're misguided and you're getting information that ain't working out, when all you had to do was just read it for yourself, and get a better understanding, maybe ask questions, you probably could have eliminated some of the bad experience that you've had.
Yeah.
I had a guy, I got to share a story. He was a CA2. He filed his claim twice, was denied twice. he was so hesitant. This is before he met me. And once I told him what needed to be done, first of all, you don't complete the CA2 till after you've seen the doctor, number one, and then the host of other things after that, he was so hesitant and so unsure that I knew what I was talking about that he reluctantly followed my guidance. And once the claim got open, he just looked at me like I stepped off a spaceship. Because it's just simple thing like that that makes all the difference in the world. And what I did is I took page four of the CA2. I highlighted everything the supervisor is supposed to do or the agency, what his job is supposed to do, and so on and so forth. I said, now you take this to your supervisor. You don't have to be confrontational, but according to the Department of Labor, this is what we must do. It happened. The guy claim got open, and he's happily enjoying his benefit. So, yeah, I'm not making this stuff up. I never ask people to take my word for it because I'm going to back it up with proof. Of what it takes to get a claim open and performing.
Well, you know, like I said, postal people.
You have to be willing to do the work.
Yeah, postal people, we sometimes become such creatures of habit that even though we read the form and it's telling us ABC, we think when that supervisor says DEF, that supervisor overrides that federal form. And usually when you listen to the agency's management, you're going to get it wrong. Then you're going to get pissed off. And because you're pissed off, you now open yourself to a confrontation that should have never happened. Again, if you understand the tools that are being presented to you, and a lot of the tools that we present is the information for you to read and educate yourself. Now, it's good to have people doing all the work for you. But, again, we're talking about the back of a form that might take you 4 or 5 minutes to read. It may take you longer to understand it, but it might take 4 or 5 minutes to read. Well, again, you set that form somewhere where you're going to visit for a few minutes a day, and while you're sitting in there and getting your thoughts together, read this form. I tell people that all the time, and they laugh when I say, I used to put a lot of forms in my bathroom. People have reading material in there. Again, I'm not going to put War and Peace in there. I don't plan on being in there that long. But when I'm in there, this is what I call making, and it sounds crazy, making efficient use of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell folks that read, understand what's going on, so make you more informed, and the more informed you are, the less BS your management, the agency, will attempt to put you through. Because one thing I will say about the agency's managers, and that is they don't really try to bring themselves into the knowledge, but once they have the idea or the inkling that you know, you're going to force them to find out. But as long as they know you don't know, well, we're going to play ring around the rosy all day long. But when they know that you know, they will contact the right person because now they understand if they don't, they're liable. So, hey, listen, we had a good conversation this morning about there's going to be some changes in the personnel we deal with in Columbus. But, again, we're bringing an Ohio State Buckeye back to Buckeye Nation to help the Buckeyes ensure that they're getting proper representation on any injury issues they may have dealing with FedComp. So go ahead and give me your sign off, Mr. Norris, and tell the people goodbye. Well, no, not goodbye. Just tell the people keep faith, because every Thursday morning you and I will meet here and still discuss what's going on.
Yeah, I don't believe in goodbyes, but I do believe in see you later. And at the end of the day, you know, I really, really enjoy sharing this information with the listeners. Again, I'm not going anywhere. As long as you allow me to come and talk to the people, I will continue to do so. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you or me. It's about the end user, you know. And that end user being empowered through information, but also being empowered with
taking action. And when we can help them guide that action, they'll get the results that they're looking for, but you got to stay the course. You know, you can't give up.
Hey, okay. Well, so we're about to sign off. I say you have a great day, Mr. Norris, and I look forward. You said Antonio Smith?
Yes. I'll send you his number here in just a second.
Okay, yeah. Well, I look forward to meeting Antonio Smith, and we'll continue providing a service to Fed employees, and in my case, to postal employees. Hey, let's have a great day, and stay healthy and stay safe. Good day.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, sir.